Hey guys, it's us again. We are back like a bad penny or a sore tooth. Hey. But anyway, we are back, episode 46. We only have six more before our year long. Yay! Hey, and hey, I'm Jen.
I'm Terry.
And we are actually doing something a little different this time. We are breaking off from the norm and going into a degrees of separation type of thing. With this, and this first one is kind of pioneering. It's Robert Downey Jr., who is one of Johnny Depp's very good friends and is also a co-star in the MCU with Tom Hiddleston. So this ought to be an interesting episode. Doing my research here, I was kind of blown away with all the different things that that RDJ has accomplished and been involved in since his 2003 arrest and imprisonment for drugs. So, yeah, I really have been seriously impressed. Excuse me. However, before we get into this, I have to admit something that I don't want to admit, but I have to, because I found out something and I'm very disappointed. My favorite photograph, the only photograph I have of Johnny Depp and Tom Hiddleston, guys, it's a fake. It's photoshopped. I found the real one when I was looking. I was cataloging a lot of my own photographs that I have and was looking for a specific image of Tom Hiddleston and ran across the real photo. The one that that was taken and changed about and with Johnny Depp added in. So I am very sorry, guys. If you go to the blog and you see that photo, it is not real. It is photoshopped. The people who photoshopped it, I want to kick their asses and thank them at the same time because it is a very, very well done piece of work.
But it's really good.
Yeah.
I gotta say.
It was so good. It had me fooled. And when it comes to those two, I don't get fooled like that very often. So, hey, kudos. But if I find you, I'm going to kick your ass. So, yeah, I showed you both pictures, didn't I, Carrie?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they did good. They even got the background, like seeing between Johnny's arm and his body and stuff. They got everything. It was...
The side-by-side was...
Amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. That's pretty much all you can say. But anyway, I had to put that out there. It really upset me. And anybody who goes to the blog, yeah, that photograph is used two or three different times throughout my blog. So I do apologize. It is a fake. And that sucks. But hey, hopefully, if we're lucky, the two will be in a movie together. And we'll have lots of photographs of the two of them together.
Sure enough.
Any other news that you can think of? Because, I mean, everything's been fairly quiet.
Yeah, it has. Just waiting for, births and new projects.
Yep. News of the baby, news of the wedding. Depp's got a couple of new projects going on. Hiddleston has a few new things coming up, but he's keeping his schedule very loose. With, of course, with the impending birth of his child and his impending wedding, so. Yeah, and 2023, we should be seeing the new Loki episodes on Disney+. So hopefully we will be able to see those. Hopefully they will get those recorded and get everything going. So. Yeah, I can't wait for that. They really left it hardcore on the end of season one with, his best buddy not knowing who he was and his girlfriend freaking out and disappearing. And just, yeah, kind of rough on old Loki there.
Yeah, it's still my favorite series, though, that Marvel's done by a country mile.
Oh, yeah. Black Widow was good, though.
Oh, well, I mean for series.
Okay. Know. Yeah.
Black Widow was good, though.
Hey, I liked the Hawkeye series. I did.
Oh.
I did. I believe that, what's his name?
Renner?
Yes, Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
I believe he is way underappreciated. I think he is an amazing actor. He is an extremely talented musician. And I believe he deserves a whole lot more due.
Yeah.
But, speaking of which, let's cycle back around and pick up Robert Downey Jr. Now, Carrie, you remember, I'm sure, the whole episodes where he was busted and then he was busted again. He was arrested several times between 2001 and 2003, finally resulting in his imprisonment, which he wasn't there long, thank Lord, but he was in prison for a while. Do you remember all of that going down?
Oh, sure. I didn't think, and you know, it was pretty bad. You're right, it was kind of a short prison stay, but it was a tough couple of years for him, and I really didn't think he was going to come back from it, because comebacks weren't common.
Well, and he had such an attitude.
Yeah.
I mean, really, even when, guys, let's face it, if you've seen the photographs of Robert Downey Jr. around 2003, oh yeah, he looked rough. The weight gain, the puffiness, the toll that the drugs and the alcohol were taking on his body, he really did look bad. And I'm with you on that about not coming back from it, but it was more along the lines of, I didn't think he had it in him to pull himself back up and to come back out of that.
Right. You know, his dad was pretty famous, and I just figured he was one of these kind of Hollywood kids that got into films and was actually pretty good, but of course, he came to drugs, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you know, it was like, well, of course.
Well, speaking of which, it saddens me to have to inform you that the first person to introduce him to drugs was his father.
Wow.
And
wow.
RDJ, man, you are the king. Dude, his dad gave him his first joint when he was 8 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, 8 years old. That just totally blew my mind. I mean, you know, 15, 16, I could see it kind of, but eight?
Sure. Eight? Right. Yeah, doing kind of a Drew Barrymore there.
That's kind of a Mommy Dearest situation there.
Right.
Or in this case, Daddy Dearest, but you know. But yeah, I found that out and I almost cried. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
However, he has been sober since 2003 and he has made such an impact since he's gotten sober. Now, he made a huge impact before then. But things just got worse and worse, and his movies got worse and worse.
Totally, yes.
And, but since 2003, he has been sober, so he's looking at, you know, this year coming up, he's looking at 20 years sober. So, hey, bravo, more power to you, and thank you, gods and goddesses.
No doubt.
God, what would the world be like without Iron Man and RDJ?
Right.
But seriously, Robert Downey Jr. has turned himself into a real-life superhero from what I can find out from everything that he's done. He got involved in not politics, but political issues, such as the carbon footprint, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And he created a company. He launched an organization called the Footprint Coalition. And what they do is they support businesses that are at work to reduce the carbon footprint that we leave through advanced technology. Some of the projects that they work with is, there's a French one called Insect, spelled Y-N-S-E-C-T. Using insects for farming and things instead of your chemicals and your pesticides and all of that. Using ladybugs, say, for cotton and things like that to eat the bad insects that are going to infect and destroy your crop.
Wow.
They also promote a company called RWDC, and this is a bio-based alternative to plastic. Something that can break down in the soil, something that you can not just recycle, but you can actually compost this.
Yeah, I've heard of this material.
Okay.
Wow.
And another that they have been promoting is, it's called cloud paper. Using bamboo to make toilet paper.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of got me too, but yeah. Bamboo-based toilet paper. He is also a vegan and has been since 2010.
Wow. I wonder why.
Because of the carbon footprint that cows leave with their methane waste products. And hey, if you don't eat meat, then you don't support that industry. So, yeah, I mean,
he's really into it.
Yeah, very much so. And as big as he is, how in the world do you eat vegan, like, constantly and be that big?
You must eat a lot of vegan, a lot of protein shakes and stuff. He's probably one of these guys that drinks, the grass shakes.
Right, wheatgrass.
Grass smoothies, yeah.
Wheatgrass,
thank you.
Yeah, and Carrie, I misinformed you. I told you that he used Tai Chi. I was wrong. It's Wing Chun.
Okay.
He uses yoga and Wing Chun to keep him sober. It's more of a centering and, you know, a focus and centering exercise for him more than it is. And of course, the martial arts suits him well in his movies and things, but it's more the focus, that type of thing. And in an interview with Oprah Winfrey, he actually told her, quote, "It's really not that difficult to overcome these seemingly ghastly problems. What's hard is to decide to do it." So, that's a good attitude to have. And then in December 2015, he received a full and unconditional pardon from Jerry Brown, then the government of California, all prior drug convictions.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
Jerry Brown, wow.
Yeah, he received a pardon. And, hey, I'm sorry, the man deserves it. Yeah, now, Chaplin, the movie Chaplin that he did, got the Queen's seal of approval, Queen Elizabeth II. She actually attended the premiere in London.
Wow.
But no, it's and he has been acting since the age of 5. His first movie was a movie that he was in with his father called Pound.
Right.
And Time Magazine has named him one of the 100 most influential people in the world.
Sure.
Which I can definitely see.
Well, you know, with the acting alone, you know, certainly, but, you know, all of this other stuff, you know, is philanthropy and these foundations is certainly influential.
And with the fact that he has been through so much, and he has come back from it bigger, better, stronger, faster, and more impressive than ever. You know, that's a big plus. He was also, Forbes says that he was the highest paid actor 3 years running, 2013, 2014, and 2015.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, after he got in trouble, after he went to prison, came back out, he was considered uninsurable.
Yeah, Exactly.
There were he had. Sure. Oh yeah, there were many people who wanted him, and wanted to help get him back into the film industry, but the insurance company said, "Uh-uh, not gonna happen."
Uh-huh.
However, one other actor who's also been through some issues, who is now a director and a producer, Mel Gibson, paid his insurance bond the first time in 2003 for a film called The Singing Detective.
Wow.
Once he completed that film and, you know, did okay with that, then the insurance companies kind of loosened up a little bit. And, you know, was able to get back in the business full force instead of just having to kind of limp along.
Yeah, right.
Some of his... What is, besides the MCU, what is, when you hear Robert Downey Jr., what's the first movie you think of?
Oh, Iron Man.
I said outside of the MCU.
Outside of Sherlock Holmes.
Okay, that's Kirby. A good one. That's a good one. What's funny is, you know what I first thought of? Tropic Thunder.
Oh my God. Well, I really think it's one of the best comedies that's come out in the 21st century. It's amazing.
And oh my God, the scope that it took to portray that character. I mean, they talk about him having the controversial skin darkening procedure because he's supposed to be playing a black guy.
And there's a lot of black guys. Like, Jamie Foxx was like, no, it is okay for him to do that. That was freaking amazing.
Right.
Yes.
Did Eddie Murphy ever comment on that? Because I figured he would probably have a lot to say.
I don't know. Usually it's Spike Lee that has a lot to say.
We're not done, Spike Lee. But going through his filmography, Zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
I did not remember him being in that one.
Yep, David Fincher's Zodiac, sure do.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he's done so much. Like I said, 81 films with two that are still to be released.
It's so many good movies.
Incredible to me. Gothica is another one. Very, very high suspense. Supernatural mystery. Very, very good movie.
Talked about it last week.
Yep, we talked about it briefly last week because Dutton, Charles Dutton, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Was in the movie that we discussed last week. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's a little degrees of separation there.
There's another.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
So many good movies.
How about TV? Do you remember any TV he was in?
You know, I know he was on Ally McBeal, but I never watched it.
That's a shame. Well, okay.
Well, you know, Lucy Liu. I would watch a little bit of it for Lucy.
But yeah, he was actually voted. Was it? Let me see. I'm thinking it was People. Was it People or was it Times? That voted him the sexiest lawyer in the world. I believe that was People.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a nice compliment.
Oh yeah. Here's another tidbit, another one of those degrees of separation. In 2009, now anybody who knows Johnny Depp will know where I'm going with this. 2009, Robert Downey Jr. was listed as one of People's sexiest men alive in 2009. You know who won that year? Johnny Depp.
Wow.
Johnny Depp.
How many times has Depp won it? you know.
Oh, Johnny, he's won it twice. He won it in 2003 and then he won it again in 2009. And it's sad, but that is on the top of my head. I don't even have to look it up.
I knew you would know. I knew you would know.
Oh, yeah. And Robert just had, well, I can't say just anymore. It's already September, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He had a birthday, April 4th. He's born 1965. Puts him 2 years younger than Johnny. So he is now 57. Which, that blows my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. The man is in the best shape of his life. He's in better shape than most 20-year-olds. So, yeah, that blows my mind that he's 57 now.
That's crazy.
And he was on SNL. We were talking about this just a bit ago.
I've got to find some footage of him on SNL. I wonder what the cast was.
I mean, I'm sure you can find it on YouTube.
Yeah.
You can find anything on YouTube.
NBC, because I've tried to look up old skits from like Eddie Murphy and people that I really liked, and NBC is real tight.
Oh, are they?
Huh. With their, with their Saturday Night Live.
Huh. Might have to actually like go to a Saturday, I mean, if there's a Saturday Night Live type website and check it out. I don't know. I haven't looked, so I really don't know where you might find that.
Yeah, they shut those down. They do not like it when you they do not like it. I am really serious. They're crazy about their content in Saturday Night Live. I'm like, man, because I love some of those old Eddie Murphy, Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
Yes.
On Saturday Night Live, you know. I don't know. Some of them are really hard to find.
Well, yeah. Well, anything with old Eddie Murphy in it's really hard to find. It's like trying to find old Richard Pryor. You can't find Richard Pryor anywhere.
Wow.
Not his old stuff. Oh, no. But now he's the only SNL actor to have been nominated for an Oscar for Best Actor. And that was for Charlie Chaplin, the movie.
Gotcha.
1993. But yeah, he was nominated for an Oscar for Best Actor for that one. He's taken home 4 People's Choice Awards, 2 in 2013, 1 for Favorite Movie Actor, and 1 for Favorite Movie Superhero, both for Avengers. And then 2014, Favorite Movie Actor, Iron Man 3, and The Judge as well. He was nominated 11 times for People's Choice Awards.
Okay.
Nominated 3 times for Kids' Choice Awards, and he won 1 of those. And nominated 12 times for Teen Choice Awards. So, he's got... the audience loves him, regardless of what anybody else says.
Wow. Yeah, he's pretty, he's pretty highly regarded, I think.
Yeah. And, he was in one of the interviews, because of course they kill Tony Stark in the last Avengers movie and we all cried.
Right.
But they asked him how he felt about leaving the MCU and, if he, basically if he thought his presence made it better or what have you. And this is a direct quote from that interview. "I really don't need to look any further than my co-stars. Mark Ruffalo is an activist. Chris Evans is a diehard American and proponent of true democracy. I really don't have the gumption, the skill set, the drive, or the humility of either of those guys do."
Yeah, wow.
So, I'm sorry, darling. That right there shows your humility. Don't even go there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yup. He's just really an incredible person outside of his acting career. Do you remember his first ever true love?
I don't know anything about his personal life, no.
Oh, wow, okay. I even knew this.
Can I recall?
He and Sarah Jessica Parker lived together for 8 years. Really? Just Okay, get your mind out of the gutter.
No, it's not. She's literally the woman whose face looks like a foot.
What?
Man, you could have gotten better than that. Anyway, that was that. Yeah, well, you called me out. It wasn't a gutter thing. No.
Wow. Okay. I thought like everybody of my generation was in love with her.
I like it. I think she's funny and talented.
Hey, no. My sister was in love with her, and my sister has no attitude toward women at all. So
yeah. Nah.
But yeah, he does understand that it was his drug and alcohol abuse that got between them. The quote that I have.
Matthew Broderick.
What?
It drove her to Matthew Broderick.
Hey! Sorry, I see Matthew Broderick like you see Sarah Jessica Parker.
Right. Right. They're a pretty good couple, huh?
It works for me, man. Leaves our DJ for the rest of us.
Wow.
Actually, no, because he is very happily married, and that's a shame, but not really. quote... To get my mind out of the gutter, thank you. He says, I like to drink, and I had a drug problem. And that didn't jive with Sarah Jessica because it was the furthest thing from what she is. She provided me a home and understanding. She tried to help me. She was so miffed when I didn't get my act together.
Miffed.
Yeah, that's the word he used. Miffed.
Awesome.
Yeah. And he is also considered a member of the Brat Pack.
Oh, yeah.
You know, an honorary member, because he's not one of the core group. I mean, that would be, Molly Ringwald and Judd.
Judd Nelson.
Yeah.
Right.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Kind of Anthony Michael Hall. Well,
Michael Hall, yes. But yeah, that core group that we're in, you know,
anybody that was in St. Elmo's Fire.
St. Elmo's Fire, Pretty in Pink, Sweet 16, The Breakfast Club, any of those.
Ally Sheedy,
definitely. Yeah, she is still a bomb actress now. She is amazing. Yeah. I saw her in something, God, not too long ago, maybe a month ago, just floored me. She was, she was a little older. We all get that way. But, I mean, she was just phenomenal. I'm trying to think of the movie it was. And I can see her, I can hear her role, but I can't come up with the name of the movie. So, yeah. Oh, what? There's another reason he's so light on his feet.
How's that?
He studied ballet in London when he was 10.
Wow. They gave him drugs and sent him to do ballet in London.
Okay, that sounds horrible.
I'm surprised the man made it. Yes, and that being said, he learned how to forge himself in the firearms.
That he did. But since we are doing this degrees of separation thing, and we're about halfway through the show already, bada bing, let's check out some of the trivia I hooked up with for one of his most iconic roles, the role that put him in worldwide view, Iron Man.
Yes.
The original. This was the original MCU start. This is the first movie that was totally financed by the Marvel Cinematic Universe without any other help from Sony or Paramount or anyone else. If you pull it up on Disney Plus, it is Phase 1, Chapter 1. Now, this is the premier MCU movie. This is what gave the rest of the MCU movies their great head start. The original Iron Man was directed by... Okay, you're going to have to help me with his name. Jon Favreau?
Yeah, Jon Favreau.
Okay. Yay, I got that one right.
Showed it.
Yep, it was directed by Jon Favreau, and he wanted RDJ because, and this is a direct quote, "The best and worst moments of Robert's life have been in the public eye. He had to find an inner balance to overcome obstacles that went far beyond his career. That's Tony Stark. Robert brings a depth that goes beyond a comic book character having trouble in school or can't get the girl."
Yeah, you know, and I felt like he was a good choice because he was a lot like Tony Stark. You know, you're like, yeah, this makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely was. And if you watch the original Iron Man, which I have done just, matter of fact, today, I wanted to see if I could pick up what they're talking about. Most of the dialogue in the original Iron Man was ad-libbed.
You felt it, you know?
Well, it's not just that. Robert would ask for different takes of certain scenes because he wanted to try this line and that line and, you know, see what was going to work best, you know, for the situation, for the movie, for the scene. And Gwyneth Paltrow had a real hard time keeping up because she never knew what was going to come out of his mouth.
Right.
And you can see it. If you watch the movie, there are times when she's just like, what?
Yeah. Right.
It's awesome. But it suits the Pepper Potts character at that particular time in their relationship, so, you know.
In the beginning, right.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's his executive secretary, you know. She's in love with him. He doesn't want to admit he's in love with her, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the scene, the line that Gwyneth comes up with when she goes to get the girl out of bed and the reporter. And she's like, yeah, you know, I got your clothes cleaned. I did this. And she goes, he makes you do all this stuff for him. She goes, yeah, I do it. I do anything he needs, including taking out the trash.
That was pretty awesome.
I said, ow.
I caught it. It's like, great.
I thought that was awesome. I was like, oh, yeah. Get it, girl. But anyway, that was one of my favorite lines in the whole movie. Definitely.
Yeah, that was pretty great. Well cast, that movie had, I mean, everybody was great in it. Oh. Jeff Bridges was great in it.
Bridges was another that had some difficulty with the whole ad-libbing thing. He's used to having, you know, he's got a completed script. He's got scene changes.
He's a method guy.
You know, he knows what he's supposed to do, what he's supposed to say, how he's supposed to walk from point what to point what. You know, it's all dictated to him before he ever steps on set. So doing the whole, but he actually said that when the director told him to look at it as a very, very expensive end of acting school, like final exam type piece.
Okay, yeah.
He was like, oh, okay. And he started to roll with it. So that made it easier for him. But yeah, final exam, this is your college grade thing. Then it was easier to roll with it and to ad-lib and to just goof off and have fun.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much all they did. I mean, every single one of the actors has said that this was one of the most fun movies to make.
Yeah. And they did kind of riff it, you know. And yeah.
Oh, yeah. The whole I Am Iron Man at the very end, at the press conference. All that was ad-libbed. It was not supposed to end that way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because usually, you know, in the comics, he was, you know, he kept the mystery, you know, Tony Stark, industrialist, but not...
Right.
You know, builder of the Iron Man suit.
Okay, Kevin... F-E-I-G-E.
Kevin Feige, yeah.
Thank you. Kevin Feige. He's the one who actually approved that scene for the final cut of the movie. It's also the scene that he credits with his decision to basically do away with the secret identities. The only MCU character that still maintains a secret identity, can you guess?
Well, I guess they blew it with... So did they restore the timeline thing with Peter Parker? Is
yes.
Peter Parker back to being Peter Parker?
Yes.
And nobody knows?
Yes.
That's it, right?
Yes. Spider-Man is the only one that still maintains a secret identity.
Yeah. Yeah, secret identities are a pain in the ass.
Well, yeah.
In real life, you know, when you think about getting Clark Kent putting on glasses, you know, and becoming Clark Kent, nobody recognizes him.
And I'm sorry, Thor is Thor. I don't care if he's wearing suit pants and a button-up shirt or a cape and leggings, okay? He's still Thor.
Yeah, he's not going to disguise himself. It's like a Thor.
Right, I mean, with that Thor. Hair, hello?
Yeah. Plus, you're right, it's hard to hide.
Dude is 6'2" and like 280 pounds.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's going to be, there's two of them wandering around the city. I don't think so.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, no, that it just doesn't play. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that was all ad-libbed, and it was all of the reporters and such. Those were local extras.
Huh.
So to avoid the whole, you know, leaking the end, spoiler alerts kind of thing.
Right.
They told
They
told all the extras they were filming a dream sequence.
Amazing. Wow.
Yep. Oh, and when he comes in and everybody's standing up, right? He goes, hey, guys, you know, come on, let's all sit down. Everybody sit down. You know.
Yeah.
Well, they were supposed to be standing throughout the scene. RDJ said, no, that didn't make any sense. It would be a whole lot more comfortable and be a whole lot more realistic if they were to sit down and get comfortable before... You know, before firing off these questions and stuff. So it was he that decided that the extras should be comfortable if they were going to have to sit in this hot friggin' studio and film this scene. Once again, just more, you know, about who the man himself is. It blows my mind. He's really 100% turned around from... The bratty little kid he used to be.
Yeah.
Oh. Where did he go after they rescued him? The first place he wanted to go to.
Burger King.
Do you know why?
It wasn't because Burger King basically paid like an endorsement deal or whatever.
No, Burger King paid an endorsement deal. Because of something Robert Downey Jr. said.
What's that?
All right. In an interview with Britain's Empire magazine, Robert Downey Jr. actually thanked Burger King for helping him to get straight in 2003. He had a car full of drugs. He pulled through the Burger King drive-thru, said he got a burger that was so disgusting. It made him rethink his life. He ended up going and pulling over on a bridge, tossing all of the drugs into the ocean, and decided to go straight.
Wow. Really?
Yep. Yep. You can look it up. You can look up the interview.
Sure. Yeah, well, I believe it.
But yeah.
And I guess you, but I love Burger King.
Well, so do I, but apparently late night Burger King is not a good thing wherever he happened to have been.
When you've been taking a ton of heroin, right?
Right. But yeah, he actually dumped the drugs into the ocean. And,
wow.
Yeah. But because of that comment, and this comment was made years ago, You know, before the Iron Man movies ever even were, well, not thought about, but before they were ever even close to being in production. So when it came time for them, Burger King was like, yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah, cool.
And of course, they did the toys, they did the promotions,
yeah,
they did
right.
the marketing and all that kind of good stuff. So, let's see, what else have I got here? Right, let me ask you, what's your favorite scene in the Iron Man, just the Iron Man movie?
You know, when he's, I don't know, there's a bunch of them. I loved kind of the first 15 minutes of that movie where he's basically in Iraq or Afghanistan, you know, in the sandbox or what have you.
It's supposed to be Afghanistan.
And he's with the... Yeah, and he's with the soldiers, you know, in the back of the Humvee, and he's like, you know, no peace signs. Wait, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know.
And says no gang signs.
Yeah, no gang signs. No, go ahead, throw them up. You know, and you can tell that was probably improvised. But just like that whole sequence, plus I loved him when he got back. I loved the party he was throwing, and Leslie Bibb was playing that reporter.
Yes.
That was showing up throughout the movie, because I've always had a thing for Leslie Bibb.
Christine.
Yeah, and I thought that, you know, that was a really kind of clever exchange of flirtations or what have you.
Right.
That showed a really cool side of Tony Stark, where you're like, okay, well, he can be a romantic too, or at least a womanizer, maybe.
Oh, womanizer, yeah, definitely.
You know, which is Stark. I don't know. It's a bunch of, it's probably those.
Here's another degree of separation. Christine, the reporter. She was named after one of Stephen King's most famous screenplays and books.
No kidding.
Nope. She was named after the car.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, I have to admit, yeah, those scenes are great. And the whole Gwyneth Paltrow scene where she's taking out the trash, quote unquote, was awesome.
Yeah.
But I love, absolutely love, and it is so Tony Stark, when he goes into the press conference and he's like, okay, you know, there's been a lot of rumors about me and Iron Man and blah, 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 and I am Iron Man. Everybody's like, ah, you know, whatever. But before that, before he actually enters the press conference, he is reading a newspaper with a very grainy, amateurish kind of black and white photograph of Iron Man on the front. That picture was taken by a couple of looky-loos that were hiding in the bushes during the initial filming of the movie. It actually hit the internet in 2007, almost a full year before the movie made it to the big screen.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I wonder if those kids got paid.
I'm part of the production design team.
Yeah, really?
Sorry, guys, you know.
But yeah, I mean, really, I mean, once it hit the internet, it was considered public property. So, yeah, I don't know, maybe not. But yeah, that's where it came from, was from a video that some kids had shot, or some people had shot, hiding in the bushes, watching the filming. I thought that was awesome.
I wonder where they filmed it.
California.
You're talking about, you know, they've got a lot of locals that were involved in it.
California.
Certainly, you know, and I was pretty sure.
California, Arizona, and New Mexico are the three biggest places they filmed. However, like the cave and right outside of the cave, all of that was all filmed on set. So, yeah. When they were filming the initial, where he's doing the weapons display. At the beginning, before he gets captured.
Right.
I'm trying to remember.
The explosions.
Right. The production team had to endure 40 to 60 mile per hour winds for 3 days to film those, that few, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And Robert Downey Jr. was only paid $500,000 for that movie.
I wonder why so little.
In 2008, he was still considered a risk.
Guess so. Wow.
And he went from that to being the highest paid actor in Hollywood by 2013, so.
Yep.
You know. But yeah, Terrence Howard was one that worked on the movie as well. He was thrilled to work with RDJ and admits that he's been a fan since 1985's Weird Science came out.
Right.
Yep. And Kevin, say it again. Feig.
Feig, yeah.
Feig. Talking about Robert Downey Jr. on set, he said, "Seeing Robert in the suit for the first time was like watching a kid in a candy store. He looked amazing and had all of the enthusiasm of a little boy. Then, then he suddenly stood up and you could see the hero forming within him."
Neat.
Yeah.
Neat.
And Kevin Feig is not just, you know, working on it. He's also he's a Marvel man. He is 100% Marvel. You know, he's not just doing the movies.
No, he loves Marvel. Right.
You know,
right,
he
right.
is all about Marvel, and for him, that's kind of like the highest kind of compliment you can get there. Robert Downey Jr. also helped in the screenwriting, the action scenes, the what works, what doesn't, from a physical standpoint, the fight scenes. Yeah, he had a lot of input in the actual screenwriting of, you know, what we see. So, and, you know, everybody's all, "Oh, what's it like to be Iron Man? What's it like to be Iron Man?" He said, "Being in the Iron Man suit is like being in the coolest Halloween costume ever. You're putting the suit on and you catch a glimpse in the mirror and you go, 'That's right. Grandma would be proud.'"
Nice. That's awesome.
He also had a lot of say in with the different scenes. What parts of the suit to make like rubber, what parts could do as metal, what parts needed to be bendable, what parts could be solid. You know, he had a lot of input in that as well, and the production team actually loved him for it. Instead of being resentful and, you know, "We know how to do our job." No. He came to them in such a way that they really appreciated his input and were quick to adjust the different suits with whatever would make the actors more comfortable in order to for them to portray what they had to on screen.
Okay.
So, yeah, he had a hand in pretty much every aspect of this movie. And, he's not given near enough credit for it, if you ask me.
You're right. No, I quite agree.
But the original creator of Iron Man. You know the name.
Well, Stan Lee, yeah.
Right. You know who You know who he based Iron Man on? The original Iron Man.
Like Tony Stark or Iron Man?
Tony
like
Stark. Tony Stark.
Probably going to go with what was his name? Howard Hughes?
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. The industrialist.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Just bit her a shirt.
Yep. Stan Lee says Hughes was, quote, "one of the most colorful men of our time. An investor. Yeah. An adventurer, a multimillionaire, a ladies' man, and finally, a nutcase." However, Robert Downey Jr. has a little bit different outlook. He said his portrayal of Tony Stark was, quote, a challenge of making a wealthy establishmentarian, I got that word right,
excellent,
weapons manufacturing, hard drinking, womanizing prick into a character who was likable and a hero.
Yeah, and you know, you're right. You have Robert Downey Jr. probably to thank for the start of the MCU.
Oh, yeah.
Because he definitely, I mean, I don't think you could have done it without him. Like the Iron Man movie. I don't know who else possibly you could have. I mean, maybe. That's a bold thing to say, but, you know, Robert Downey Jr. is Tony Stark.
There were several other actors who were considered, but Favreau was adamant. He wanted RDJ.
Uh-huh.
I can't call his name. The one who played the antagonist in the second Iron Man.
He played Hammer.
Yes.
What's that guy's name? Sam Rockwell.
He was considered to play Iron Man.
Okay.
I don't think it would have worked. I'm sorry. I love Sam Rockwell. I do. I think he's incredible. He's fabulous. I loved him in Charlie's Angels. I loved him in Iron Man 2. I just thought he was great. But he would not have made a good Iron Man. As bad as I hate to say it, I'm sorry, Johnny. Johnny Depp would not have made a good Iron Man. I don't think anyone could portray that role as accurately, as succinctly, and made that character who he is to the people today, other than RDJ.
Yeah.
I just don't see it.
Agreed.
I really don't. I mean, I just can't even imagine. But he's done, and this is just one of his movies. You know, he's done 81 different movies. He has done some bombs, he's done some real bad ones. But he's done some absolutely fantastic films as well. He's also branched off into producing. You know, he's a singer, he's a writer, he's branched off into doing screenplays. This guy is definitely, he should be the icon for taking control of your own life.
Absolutely. He is how you make yourself. Absolutely.
And he has, I mean, regardless of who his dad was, regardless of any other, you know, hands up he might have gotten, this man has made himself, and he has only himself to pat on the back for his success. He has done this all on his own, despite some extreme setbacks.
Right.
So yeah, hats off. Robert Downey Jr., guys.
Yeah, he's the man.
He is. He is the man.
Great career. And you know, guys like this, I'm glad that we did this show.
Absolutely. More people need to focus on the positive, which is kind of hard to do nowadays. But Robert Downey Jr. is definitely a positive to focus on. You know, he's done all this despite drawbacks and limitations. You know, and he is still living. He's practicing what he preaches. You know, he is one of those in Hollywood that you don't find very often that is actually genuinely a truly good guy.
Yeah.
And Hollywood needs more of those.
Totally.
Yeah. Him, Hiddleston, you know. So what you want to do next week? I was looking at it, and we might as well continue the expansion that we've got going on. We've got several different, we've got Paul Bettany, we've got Mia, I never can pronounce her last name.
I can't either. You know, I want to, but it sounds East European.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we know who we're talking about just because y'all don't. It's okay.
You know. They know.
They know. Through the Looking Glass, Alice in Wonderland, Crimson Peak, and Only Lovers Left Alive. She's been in two movies with both guys. So, we can do her.
That's a good one. There you go. Nice.
Do you want to do Mia?
Yeah, let's do that. Now, and let's take the challenge of starting by learning how to spell her last name and pronouncing it. good way to start the path.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm going to be a linguist by the time I decide to quit doing the podcast, I swear. And we are almost out of time. Anything you want to say left?
No. NFL season starting tomorrow. That's all I'm really thinking about.
That's why I've been having to, like, pull teeth getting answers out of you. Okay.
Yeah. Thinking about betting. No, I'm kidding. I don't bet.
Yeah, I know. You're thinking about football. Thinking about the pigskin. We're not even going there.
American football.
Yes, American football. American football.
Right.
Not European football. So.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, did you find out who was playing?
It is the Bills and the Chargers.
Okay. For those who don't know American football.
Buffalo. Okay. Which is New York, and Los Angeles, which is California, two different...
Can they get any further apart?
They cannot, and they are playing. They are starting to get out this year.
Wow.
And both are really, really great teams. It's going to be fantastic.
And I'm taking my Kindle to work so I can watch the game when
there
I'm not busy. All right, guys. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed listening to Robert Downey Jr.'s history and a history of Iron Man. So next week, I guess we will be doing... I want to say her name is Wachowski? Wachowski?
No, because that's the guys that did The Matrix.
Crap.
Yeah.
All right. If I had her name in front of me, I could pronounce it. But unfortunately, those notes are in another one of my notebooks. I have like 8 floating around here, so... So we'll be doing Mia next week. She's been with Johnny Depp in Alice in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass. She's been with Hiddleston in Only Lovers Left Alive and Crimson Peak. So we'll be doing a little bit of look-see about her career, and where she's at, what she's doing now. Other than that, hey, I'm Jen. This is Carrie. We've got Depheads and Hiddlestoners at yahoo.com. DepheadsHiddlestoners.com if you want to go to our blog, or go to BarryReese.net and hit the link. We also have a dedicated phone line now, and I do have that number at my fingertips this time. That number is 765-681-7313. So guys, give us a call, give us an email, let us know what you like, what you don't like, let us know where you are so when we call you back we don't wake you up, and hey, join us next time. Till then,
peace and love.
Peace out, guys. Bye
bye.